Hello, Steve. Hello, Jill. It's time to game classy.
Hello.
Hey, there were two Steves for a second.
Ooh. Top of the morning, 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 top of the morning. Let's get this shit. Let's get this shit.
I don't know what that is. Is that your new thing?
Oh my God. No, it is. So I'm not quite sure who it is, but apparently a popular rap artist released a new track, and I only know it because a bunch of people are retweeting the needle drop guy.
Oh yeah.
I guess he reviews a bunch of like rap stuff, I guess. I don't know. His name is Needle Drop, and he's like bald, and he's like a music dude. I don't fucking know. But anyway, this rap track literally is like top of the morning, top of the morning, top of the morning, top of the morning. Let's get the shit. Let's get the shit. And people are just like dragging it, and it's really funny.
Is it is it off Donda?
Maybe.
Is it on Kanye's new album?
Maybe.
I have not listened to Donda or Donda. I don't know how he's pronouncing it, but I have not listened to it yet.
I don't know. It might be, but like everyone is just lambasting it. It's really funny, but like people are putting it over famous scenes with other rap songs, like movie scenes with other rap songs, and it's so fucking jarring.
Is it with, did they replace Mama Spaghetti?
See, this one's not the same because Mama Spaghetti is funny because it's an edit.
Yeah, well, Mom Spaghetti is a rap battle,
right? But the thing that made it popular is, you know, he vomited on his sweater already, spaghetti.
Yeah,
like the thing that's funny is the edit. This one is just like legit. So I don't know, but like there's a humorous scene in a regular show where Benson does a bunch of breakdancing, and like people have put it over that, and it's so fucking weird because there's no rhythm to it. Like it's literally the dude is just saying top of the morning, top of the morning, top of the morning, top of the morning. It's so fucking weird because there's a beat, but like he is not. Like
so it goes from the realm of rap to more of techno, right?
No, I don't know. It's very weird. No, it doesn't have top of the moon. Yeah, you know what? If it had a techno beat, it would probably be less off-putting, but it doesn't have a techno beat. It has like a traditional, like, you know, like boom boom boom. Like a rap beat, right, like it's terrible.
I was digging that for a bit.
It's really funny. You should listen to it.
I will. My plan is
You could join into the cultural zeitgeist, but I don't know if it's from Dunda. But I mean, I guarantee if you literally just search rap top of the morning, I guarantee you'll find wherever it's from.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I do plan on listening to Donda. At least I'm assuming since Kanye is from Chicago, he's pronouncing it Donda. But you know, I can't be 100% sure on that one.
Isn't it his mom's name? So it's probably however her name was pronounced.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's like, but yeah, and he's from Chicago, so that's what I'm saying. Yes. It's probably Donda, but I'm not 100% on that one. Yes, and I plan on listening to that album all the way through. But that's my thing is like I can't if someone like one of those big cultural albums that comes out and people talk about like Donda. I don't want to like sit there and like listen to it piecemeal at a time. I want to sit down and listen to the entire thing and give it my undivided attention because I don't want to be like, listen to one song and be like, this is stupid.
I think Kanye West's a turd, so I will definitely not be supporting any of his music.
He is a turd, and that's why I don't. That's why I listen to it in ways that will not give him any money. I will never buy a Kanye West album.
Excellent. Very good.
Yes. However, that doesn't mean I don't want to listen to the music. Does that make sense? It's like when you
It's when you pirate a video game. Yeah, I got you.
Yeah, pirate a video game. Exactly. But I mean, it's more so because there's like a there's a political purpose behind it. So it's like if you pirate a video game and for specifically so that the company does not get money, Like,
yes, that's
like,
what I mean.
There's a difference between I'm doing this to not spend money and a difference to I'm not want to give this person money. Like, I have the money. I could easily afford this, but I just don't want to give you any money.
Yes. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. I think that's a very important distinction. I think internet pirates should be looking at that as like a Games Workshop is a great example of that.
You're in favor of white hat piracy?
Well, I'm very much in favor of white hat piracy. I've talked about that for a while, but it's like kind of like the Games Workshop one. Games Workshop is a little bit harder because like people are like, they're stealing the intellectual property. And you know, it's like when you're pirating, it's like it's a dual purpose. Like part of it is you know, Games Workshop charges infinitely too much money for the crap. And it shouldn't be that much. So in order to play the game I want to play, and the models are all out of print and blah, blah, blah. All their practices are shitty. I'm going to pirate their models, right? And just print them on myself. But there's also the other thing of like, I don't want to fucking give GW any money. They have enough of my money at this point. But so it's like there's that white hat, the white hat piracy, which I fully support. I'm trying to think of like another great example, but like there's not much because movie wise, I'm never going to watch any of the movies that I wouldn't want to give money to anyway. Maybe someone like Woody Allen. Like, I like Woody Allen's movies, but Woody Allen's a terrible person, so I never want to give Woody Allen any money. But it's like, how much money is he getting at this point from me streaming bananas on Netflix, you know? So
I mean, I find a lot of the like with movies are kind of a weird one because like you can't really like there's nothing you can. So like you could boycott as much Woody Allen shit as you want. It's not going to stop him from making movies. Like,
exactly.
You can't do that.
at this point, no. Like Woody Allen is far. It's like Kanye. It's like even if I, you know, me listening to his music in a way that's not going to make him any money is not. It's not going to matter, right? It's like that. That's more of a moral thing on my part. It's not going to hurt him in any way. I think like the spreading of STLs out there for 3D printing is going to hurt Games Workshop eventually. Like, and I'll talk a little bit about that. It's one of the things I planned on talking about today. For like, you know, it's a good example. The Bone Tomahawk guy. You were just emailing me about Bone Tomahawk not too long ago, right?
Yeah, because it came up on a horror movie tier list.
Yeah,
and I was like. Bone Tomahawk. I was like, I vaguely remembered it. And I was like, that's the Western with Kurt Russell. I'm like, why is this on a horror movie tier list? And I was like, I'm like, the only person I know who watches horror movies is Joe. And we're like, Joe, have you seen Bone Tomahawk? Is it good?
You know, and that's the thing is like Bone Tomahawk is like, so the problem with Bone Tomahawk, and I didn't have time to like go through this in texting, is Craig Zahler is kind of a shit. He's kind of an edgelord.
Okay.
But he's not like the type of edgelord that's like, Donald Trump is the greatest fucking person ever. Women should be regulated to the kitchen. You know, like that type of edgelord. He's he's the edgelord who's like, it's funny that I give these people who are awful voice, isn't it? Like, people are going to talk about my movies because I have this shitty person in them. But he's not
So he's more of a traditional edgelord.
Very much a traditional internet edgelord, yes.
Yeah, he's a traditional edgelord. I think that's an important and valid distinction. I also think that a lot of people, just in general, need to grow the ability to just be like edgelord and point at someone and then never do anything past that. Like, you don't actually like you and I have said before, like if you see something and it makes you really mad, don't interact with it.
Yeah. Oh no, exactly.
That is an important thing. Like I had to catch myself because I saw someone fucking share an article and I was just like, it was from the Times, and I was just like, I was like so ready to just like lambast the article and the person. I was like, you know what? It's not going to do anything. It's just going to boost their engagement and it's going to push their social media reach further. I'm just gonna block that.
there's something about Craig Zahler where you're just like, oh fuck you. But what's interesting about him and why I have to give him a tiny itty bitty shred of respect is because he is the type of guy that's like, I'm going to make, you know, medium budget movies, right? That people don't make anymore. I'm going to make these medium budget movies that are actually decent for being medium budget. Or I should say he makes low budget movies that are really good low budget movies. How about that? They're like almost medium budget movies. Movies that
like Ari Aster.
A little bit, yeah. The difference is Craig Zahler is a terrible director. I shouldn't say he's a terrible. He's not a good director. His directing is very wooden. He doesn't really get good performances out of good actors. And you could tell in like Bone Tomahawk, there's a couple people in that movie that are normally good actors that give terrible performances, and you're just like, what's going on? And you know, that comes from the director. That comes from, like, he has a lot of control over his movies. He's a director, editor, writer, and all that stuff. But his whole thing
It's just like Hayden Christensen in Star Wars. Like, that's the number one thing. Like people, and like, there's many valid criticisms. Obviously, we do it all the time of shitting on the prequels and Star Wars in general and stuff. But like, people like say Hayden Christensen's a bad actor, and I'm like, he's legit not a bad actor. He's a good actor. Like that performance he gave in those films was perfect. He was exactly what George Lucas was asking for. I guarantee it.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
That's something that's kind of hard to tell too, because you're like, man, the acting is so fucking bad, and then they're like, that dude's a bad actor. It's like, no, he's not. Watch him in some of his other movies; they're pretty good.
Well, that's what I'm saying, is like, there are people in Bone Tomahawk or Dragged Across Concrete where you're just like, these are normally good actors. Like, what's going on here? And it's just, you know, it's the director.
It's good. Well, it's good to know that going ahead. Because, I mean, Hayden Christensen was still pretty unknown when those movies came out.
Yeah. I mean, it's also like with Zahler, it's, you know, Bone Tomahawk is a cool concept for a movie, but it's nothing to like, the brutal violence of it. It's like, I've seen worse. You know, like there are some brutal scenes, but you're kind of like, at this point in my life, I've seen enough like weird shit in movies where it's like, this doesn't shock me, you know, and you'd be the exact same way. You'd be like, oh, that's kind of cool, but it doesn't shock me.
I've never been shocked by violence. Sometimes some stuff makes me like a little queasy just because it's gross.
Come on. Hold on. That scene in Hereditary in the car with the pole. You tell me you were not shocked by that.
That was legit. Hold on. I'm not generally like shocked or like shook by sudden violence, but I do have I do the like sit forward in my seat a lot faster, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what to me, when I hear the word shocked, like I think of something where I'm just like, someone's just like really like, oh, like oh, what the fuck, like they're really like upset by something. Yeah. For me, like the scene in Hereditary, and then this other thing I was just about to talk about, it's like, oh shit, like it's getting real, like that's my thing. I do the lean forward in my seat. Yeah. Like, oh yeah, there are stakes now. But the for me, that specific thing, like the one I was thinking of, actually is funny that it wasn't Hereditary, but it's The Promise. I think it's The Promise. It's an Australian Western.
Okay, I think I know which one you're talking about.
I think it's called The Promise or The Oath. Hang on, I'll look up the name. Australian Western. There's a scene in it. I'm not gonna say what happens, obviously, because that would be a spoiler, and I don't want to spoil it. But like, it's legit. Like there's just regular ass shit going on, and then suddenly, I think it's The Promise. Hang on.
Yeah, the only promise that is it like a newer movie?
Yeah, it's somewhat newer. It's like, hang on, let's see here. Okay, no, it's not The Promise. The Pledge? Maybe it's The Pledge. Fuck, this is so hard to find.
Sweet Country,
no, it's definitely not The Nightingale.
Quigley Down Under. You'll have to let me know when you figure it out.
It looks like it is The Pledge, actually. Yes. Pledge. Yes, it's The Pledge.
Okay.
That's
a good one.
Wait. No, it's not.
Not The Pledge.
The Pledge is a completely different film. The Pledge is a film with Luke Perry.
The Gunfire's Pledge.
However, it is a Western.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't doubt it. As we talked about in the last cast, true Westerns died in 1980 with the movie Heaven's Gate. And then we have, now everything has to be neo-Western. So
neo-Western.
That's a good I think we could use that as a transition, because Craig Zoller is one of those guys who's like, he definitely is an edgelord in that he wants to tempt internet keyboard warriors to like get mad at him, because that's the way, his way of drumming up press. Like, specifically, his movies are very, very brutally honest from certain perspectives. And I don't want to say like from the white man's perspective. It's maybe not that, but it's like, it is a very interesting watch. And he definitely does not care about like, oh, this is going to offend someone, which is edgelord, like the definition of edgelord. And right. He's trying to get a reaction out of people.
The Proposition. The film is called The Proposition.
The Proposition. Okay.
The Proposition. It's excellent. It's very good. But the reason this gives me the forward thing is because like it's legit out of fucking nowhere. Something insanely violent happens, like completely unexpectedly.
Holy and shit,
like,
oh. Nick Cave wrote this movie.
I don't know who that is, but this
movie. He's the guy that wrote Red Right Hand, the musician from the Hellboy movie. That's nice. It was written by him. And I do like, sweet. If you go back, Nick Cave and the Bad Seeds first album, I want to say, you would absolutely adore.
Nice. This is the Proposition from 2005, because yes. Apparently there's like fucking four movies named The Proposition.
Yeah.
Sweet. I'm down. But as you're saying, an edgelord drumming up
So one thing that I wanted to talk about today, actual gaming wise, was is dealing with how do we deal with edgelords in gaming. So I sent Steve this list that's been going around.
Oh my god, I was fucking dying. It's so ridiculous. So and my comment on it is just, how can one be so malding about fucking RPG makers? It's so fucking pathetic.
I wasn't able to track down exactly where this came from, just because. So it's basically a list of RPG manufacturers, and they gave them ratings. Green means that they are not, red means that they are totally social justice warriors, according to this person.
Like, yeah, they're woke. They're super woke.
He says these companies are woke. These people probably despise you if you don't fall in line, and they aren't afraid to let you know. Like, that's his actual wording. So you could tell that this person is like 24 years old, graduated college with a STEM degree, because that's what they were told we're going to be making money from, and he's working, you know, a basic office IT job, not making that much money, not in the union, working overtime, and the cute girl at the office who he thinks is his Pam is not paying any attention to him. Does that sound about right, Steve?
Yeah, the only thing you are missing is his collection of Funko Pops on his desk.
Yes, his collection of Funko Pops, and he has a very large collection of RPGs at home that he can't find anybody to play with.
He plays with no one.
Yes, he plays with no one. So I'll go over this list in a second, but that's the red, that's the woke ones. He also has the green, starting at the very, and the other hand are not woke or indifferent, which is, this is what I kind of like about this, is that green, which is the best, Steve, is like I am indifferent to your cause. So there's no one on like the exact opposite end of the red. You know how like red is like woke. So on the other end of the spectrum would be like
Nazis.
Yeah, like Nazis, pretty much. So there are no like on this list, there are no Nazis. So there's already people who are not ascribing to this guy's own political views. They are indifferent. So therefore, it's like we're already starting
his gold standard is someone who's a centrist.
Yeah, his gold standard for RPGs is someone who's an absolute centrist and does not, you know, put any
or just doesn't make political commentary with their company.
Yes. So it's like it's pretty interesting just to think about right there. And then there's like the yellow, which is the sort of woke or panderers. You know, if there's if it's there, it's subtle. They bend the knee to the grifters, or maybe themselves are woke. Maybe they themselves are woke. So
I also like, think it's I was fucking dying when he said the grifters, and I'm like, who the fuck is grifting?
Yeah.
On like I mean, unless he means like the general concept of business is a grift, which in that case, yes.
Yes, capitalism in and of itself is a grift, yes.
Yes, but like who is other than what Sean King, I don't think there's a single person who's trying to push positive social issues as some sort of payout grift. There's a fuck ton of people pushing against people pushing positive social issues as a grift. Humble mug salesman, if you will.
Yeah.
Or dick pill salesman.
My so pill like, salesman.
Yes, there are plenty of people grifting, but like I said, there are left-wing grifters, don't get me wrong. The only one I can think of is Sean King, who's by far, like, basically, but differences, and this is an important distinction, I think, if you're into, like, any sort of political shit, when there's a left-wing grifter, the leftists fucking lambast them. So, like, when the fucking conservochuds are, like, jumping down Sean King's throat about some stupid fucking tweet he made, all the leftists are like, yeah, that guy fucking sucks.
Yeah.
Like, he's not one of us, fuck you. But when the right-wing chud is getting lambasted, they all just huddle around each other because being a right winger is being in a hug box because that's all they have.
Let's be fair, they have to surround Ben Shapiro because if any sort of like nut falls off of a tree and hits them, it could kill him.
Dude, the fucking best thing about it was some dude's like, this is the first time I've ever heard Ben Shapiro. People are like, people look up to this guy. They think he's some sort of like status of male virility. He sounds like a fly. I was fucking dying.
He literally sounds like
he sounds like a fly.
Well, he sounds like a normal human being that was sped up a la the Chipmunks in 1960s when they're making their albums.
Well, Joe, hypothetically, if I worked a chipmunk, I would 100% be still stalwart in my positions of political beliefs.
Exactly. So which one do you want to go over first? Do you want to go over the neutral or do you want to go all the way to the greens?
Oh, no, let's do the greens first. I'm more excited by the greens.
Yeah. So these are not, the greens are the not woke indifferent.
Yes.
Oh, and I also wanted to say, like, I didn't want to track it down too much because, you know, this originated in an RPG forum and I just don't want to go deep down into that. Like, I don't want to, because whatever I'm going to read there is going to really piss me off. Right. It's like a bunch of, I mean, it's funny, but it's also going to piss me off. So the greens are RPG pundit, which they do Lion and Dragon, Arrows of Indra, and Dark Albion. Dark Albion is the only one I know out of that list. So here we go. This is historical fiction and stays true to the mindset of the times. Might create a new category here for anti-social justice warrior. So this might be his only one of the few that go onto the other side of green. This are going over to his anti-social justice warrior or Nazi category.
I mean, that's the thing. Like, so I have to say, I will provide one caveat to this. I'm sure I will know barely any of these companies because they're RPG makers. So, like, they're gonna be esoteric at best. Like what you just said, this company, their game. Yeah. I've not heard of this company. I've not heard of their game. However, I can say historical fiction. If it's historically accurate, it'll be racist. That doesn't mean the company's racist.
Well, yeah, but they also say see his YouTube channel. So I'm assuming that on his YouTube channel, he probably says some awful stuff.
Entirely possible.
Yeah. You know, Troll Lord Games, they do Castles and Crusades. Generally stays apolitical. So it's like, okay, so they're neutral. Studio Agate, Shadows of Esrin.
They just make games and they're not a big enough company to make political statements.
Yeah, you know, Shadows of Esrin, no indication of any affiliation. Yes, completely neutral. Precis Intermedia, maker of genre diversions. I don't know this game. So who knows there?
You got me, bro. So Autark, far, the only one I've heard of was Shadows of Esrin.
Yeah, Autark, ACKS. I don't know them. Necrotic Gnome, you might know them. They do old school essentials. But it's like all of these that I'm saying is like there's no indication of anything political. They make a point to be apolitical. Osric, I know them. White Box, don't know them. Goblinoid Games, they do Labyrinth Lord.
They make Labyrinth Lord. That's what they make.
This is a good one for you. Frog God Games, they do Swords and Wizardry. Swords and Wizardry did a bit of pandering with an all-female printing of Swords and Wizardry. Suspect, but worth noting.
Jesus, this is giving me huge vibes of One Angry Gamer, like so badly, which is really funny. One Angry Gamer made a list of the quote unquote traitors to America, which was every video game company. It's this exact same thing, except video game companies.
Here you go.
Carry on.
Palladium is on the green list. Does what they have always done. Grift Gamers, no. Make Gonzo Worlds. Whatever. Everyone knows Palladium. They've just been around forever. Like, you can't really, you know, it's like they are so non-political in many ways.
They've never made a political statement, to my knowledge. No. And you know what? And this is something that, like, people have dragged me for this before, and I don't really know why. I don't understand it. But me as a person, I actually do believe it is okay for you not to make political statements. You don't have to do that.
No, you don't.
You can. I would prefer if some people did sometimes, but if you have a stance where you do not comment on political matters, that's valid as fuck.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of people who just don't want to deal with it. And like, I don't really want to deal with it. So the most political talk I ever do about anything is literally on this podcast.
Yes. Yeah, I spent the last 2 years working in a different area than where I normally work. So I had to keep my mouth shut about my politics, but I'm back in the city of Chicago, baby. I get to talk politics all I want. I'm in the union, baby.
You don't have to fucking wear your political opinions in your sleep. And then a lot of people, it's really fucking tiring. It's like, geez, it's like fucking, like, look, I understand that fucking this company is awful. Everyone knows this company is awful. I already don't shop there. What else do you want?
And I also want to point out that with this, with Palladium, we do get Kevin Ciambidia, who, as we all know, is kind of a turd person, but not politically. He's just kind of a turd person.
Yeah, there's a lot of, I'd like to say rookie mistakes, but like, that implies they don't have experience. They have plenty of experience.
Yeah. I see that he's been doing gaming stuff since 1979. It's like,
yeah. So it's like, I don't really, I don't know. I don't know how to describe it, but like, I mean, I'm sure plenty of our listeners backed the Robotech Kickstarter. That tells you all you need to know about Palladium.
Was that actually Kevin Ciambidia who did that one?
Yeah, it was Palladium. So
okay, it was Palladium. Okay.
Yeah.
I just didn't know Palladium, that. I know that they have the license. I didn't know if they have like a mini board game license or if that was someone else.
Yeah, Robotech's interesting. There's the Harmony Gold license is all fucked up. Funny story about piracy. The original creators of Macross, like the Japanese dude who made it, he like literally encourages American fans to pirate Robotech.
I've heard talked about that before.
Yeah, he's like, yeah, pirate. He's like, absolutely pirate Robotech. He's like, we don't get any money from that. Harmony Gold basically like swindled them in the 80s.
So here's another one. this one's kind of ridiculous.
I'm ready.
So Wenger Satanis is one, and they do a game called Alpha Blue. If you if you look this up, you can
it sounds like a porn game.
It is a porn game. Alpha Blue is a Federation space station for the study of sexual addiction and rehabilitation of its clientele.
I fucking knew it. How did I fucking know it?
I think that you probably played it. However,
no, I definitely didn't.
Green list.
I've never done anything that cringe. Playing, I have a theory that all these sex-based role-playing books are just bought by like, you know the type who buy those, and no one has ever played them. If anyone has actually played in like a heavily sexual tabletop role-playing game,
yeah,
what the fuck are you doing? Yeah. Or also, how did it go?
Yeah.
So, like, how did it go? Did you all end up, you know, fucking?
did you have sex? Yes. So you could look up Alpha Blue. They are listed as anti-social justice warrior. So, yeah. That's that. Also on this list is Peterson Games, Sandy Peterson, who's now doing Cthulhu, new Cthulhu stuff.
That's the Cthulhu board game guy, right?
Yes. It's I want to say it's like spun off of Chaosium. I'm not really sure.
Well, I mean, it's Cthulhu, so it's I don't think it's Call of Cthulhu.
It's like, not Call of Cthulhu, no.
Yeah,
it's,
the only stuff that's Chaosium is specifically Call of Cthulhu, because if I'm not mistaken, we've talked about IP and all that shit before, but if I'm not mistaken, the current state of the Lovecraft stuff, because most of it is like Cthulhu himself is public domain, most of Lovecraft stuff is public domain, if not all of it, but I believe specifically Call of Cthulhu is the copyright for Chaosium.
Yeah, it's weird. Like, I don't really know why they kind of spin him off into his own little thing. Sandy Peterson, to put him on here, this list is not really fair, but he did make some mistakes on Twitter where he was commenting on stuff he shouldn't comment on. It's important to kind of remember Sandy Peterson is 65 years old and a Mormon. So you could take that to what you will. He also wrote.
Yeah, you really did like that kind of goes the end and all. He wrote what?
He wrote Doom, Quake, and Wolfenstein. So it's like.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah, so it's kind of like, yeah, this guy's kind of been all over the place. I think he also worked on Age of Empires, if I remember correctly, the original Age of Empires.
I bet he was the one responsible for those goddamn priests. Fuck those guys.
Oh, why am I blue all of a sudden? And you're red. the stupid priest. That was the best part of that game. You just like, send a priest over to the village and he just starts like converting people. It's fantastic. What a great system. And also on this list, so I think you appreciate Lamentations of the Flame Princess. Edgelords cannot be contained. That's what it says.
I mean, Edgelords, yes. However, they did immediately distance themselves from the one dude who was like a turbo right-wing chud. Yeah.
I mean, they're the turbo chud, yes. They're still pretty what's the word I'm looking for? They're just
Edgelords.
Yeah, they're just edgelords. Yeah.
I'm not gonna say they're not edgelords. They're absolutely edgelords. But yeah, like,
but the turbo chud they did
like, the what's his face, I can't remember his name. If I am not mistaken, around the time a bunch of this
yeah, it was the not remember that book? It was like not someone. Like they did they did it at Gen Con, the last Gen
yeah,
Con.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, like, he put it in there.
Yeah, so it was like 2019 and it was like not written by John, I think it was the name of the book.
Yeah,
or something used to be like not whatever. Yes. This book doesn't, it was not written by John.
Yes.
And then everyone.
Yeah.
Oh,
go ahead.
So everything in that book was like all like the writing credits was says not John, right?
Yes. Yes.
And so, so that's, yeah, it was all like, it was a big joke. Like we got rid of this turbo chud. except for the fact that the company's kind of full of chuds. But
the,
you know,
the other, well, yeah, absolutely. That's an OSR. That's an OSR problem.
Yeah.
But the other thing about that is that I will say, to his credit, if I am not mistaken, the dude was on. You know, he very rarely posts on Twitter. So this was years ago. So like I said, I might be wrong, but if I'm not mistaken, a right wing chud was basically trying to gas him up about like being like this sort of right wing hero for them. And he was just like, he's like, no, fuck you. He's like, he's like, I don't give a fucking shit about politics. Fuck off.
And then he followed Jordan Peterson. He's a lobster.
I mean, hey man, you gotta get that all meat diet and just die.
Yeah, you gotta get that all meat diet and then try and convince a woman to stay in the kitchen. That's Jordan Peterson.
Yeah, and then die or whatever.
Get addicted to Percocet is what you need to do.
Percocet.
So going on to the yellow one, which is kind of like the bend the knee to the grifters, as it said. Just a few ones on here that because these are all like ones that you've heard of: Fantasy Flight, Telsorian, Goodman, Chaosium, Monty Cook, Mongoose, Mophidius, Pinnacle. Hero Games, by the way, the Hero Games hire sensitivity readers. GURPS/Steve Jackson Games, Free League and Atlas Games. Some ones that I wanted to point out as like interesting on this is that Monty Cook used to, poor Monty, he used to make some good stuff, tends to push things like consent forms in gaming. Like, yeah, it's like, what? You're not for consent? Like, what's going on where consent is a bad thing?
Yeah, that's libcuck mindset. Asking people if they want to do things and if they're okay with doing things. That's for libcucks only.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like
It's literally the people who drag trigger warnings. It's like, no, like that's a good thing. Like putting that in something is fucking good because not everyone wants to see fucked up shit, but a lot of people do want to see fucked up shit. So the problem is because the right wing smooth brain sees a trigger warning. That means they're like, the fucked up shit I want to see is going to go away. And it's like, no, the people you're voting for are going to do that.
Yeah, exactly. which is why we shouldn't buy anything out of Texas. I feel real bad though, because like the Arena Rex guys are out of Texas, so it's like I feel bad for like having a Texas boycott, and they're good guys, so it's like and they're in the good part of Texas, you know, but it's like fuck. This is so hard. Fantasy Flight Games is on there. It's like they don't constantly harass potential customers and tell them how much they hate them at least. Like what? Like obviously someone probably posted something and on a forum and a game company told them to fuck off and Fantasy Flight didn't, so I guess they're okay on that.
Yeah, I don't know, like it's just like it's like, yeah, a lot of people have like, there's a lot of companies who have literally been like, I don't care if Nazis don't buy my products, and like that's literally what this person is saying. This person is like, well, they're turning away potential customers. It's like, yeah, they don't want their game to be like a right-wing rallying cry, like obviously that makes sense.
My favorite is in, so then we go to the red, and then so my favorite is Wizards of the Coast, which is owned by a bajillion-dollar company. Harasses
the biggest gaming company in the world, multi-billion-dollar company.
I like how they put harasses customers. What is harasses customers? Is it like someone like on the internet go, hey, you chud, you bought our book. I'm gonna bother you now, and you shouldn't play our games. Like
harassing, I believe in this instance, harassing customers means when someone is like, hey, can I make a white power D&D book? And D&D is like, no. Well, they're no, like, they're harassing me.
That's not a customer. I think it's probably like when they put up those signs that say like, we don't want assholes playing our game.
Don't walk around shouting racial epithets at the Magic tournament, please. They're harassing me.
Yes, that's probably what it is.
Being oppressed. Yeah. How dare these people not let me walk around the Magic tournament shouting slurs.
You can't wear a swastika armband at this D&D speed run game. Like,
well,
like
that you've sort of just thing. Lost yourself a customer. And he harassment. Slaps his arm. Harassment. He slaps his armband down. I'm being harassed for my views.
You're gonna have to pull me out. And then the person's like, okay. And they like snap their fingers, and two guys named like Chauncey and Meat come and like pull him out. No, he's like, I'm being harassed. I'm being harassed.
Tiny and Brick.
Yeah, Tiny and Brick.
Yeah, Tiny and Brick show up.
Mongo and Meat.
Mongo and Meat also good.
Yes. Diversity checkboxes, hires based on race, pedo judges. I think that was an issue one time though. I'll give them that. Wasn't there like a Magic Gathering thing with like one of the judges was like a pedophile? But it was it was like that's some local. But... It was like some weird local thing. I remember.
No. So that was a big. So I can go into that real quick. So what that is, and that was basically the judge program being pretty exploitative. So like, and the judge program is exploitative. Like it's what you'd expect out of a multi-billion company. Well, was it? I should say it was. I don't know if it still is. I haven't been privy to this part of the business for a while. But anyway. It was because the judge program was mostly like they were volunteers, but they were basically doing paid work and then not getting paid. So like the barrier to entry was pretty low. You just needed to know the magic rules and take a test, so on and so forth. But you know, there was no background checks. The thing is like people were like, this dude's like a sex offender, like a legit sex offender. Like what the fuck? Like he's a fucking high level judge. Like this isn't cool. Like, and they immediately took that to Wizards, like they should, thinking like, judges are employees, and Wizards is like, oh, whoa, buddy. Judges are not employees of Wizards of the Coast.
Yeah.
And it's just like, what the fuck are you talking about? He's judging a fucking official Magic tournament. And it's just like, no. They're volunteers. So what they did is they changed their, and this was on them. Like they should have actually had this policy before. Yeah.
That was on Wizards.
Yes, they should have been like, there was no background check required. And it's just like basically like what Pokemon has for their judges, like that should have already been the standard for Magic judges. But it's not. Like Pokemon basically like 100% did it, because like, you know, Pokemon tournaments are mostly kids. So like your Pokemon professor has to have a completely clean background check submitted to Pokemon to like be a Pokemon professor.
Yes.
So like you, like it's impossible to be a Pokemon professor and also be a sex offender, because you can't, you literally can't. Like, you, like can they'll hear, be
someone's
like,
someone's listening to this podcast right now going like, I can make it happen. yeah. Also,
well, I should say convicted sex offender.
Convicted. So, okay. Well, now you're getting like, now you're putting caveats on it, Steve.
Well, no, I mean, you can't be a sex offender if you don't have a conviction.
Okay.
Right. Like, am I wrong? Like, you have to have a conviction to be a sex offender, right?
Okay, so also on this one, bans anyone they disagree with on social issues from all sanctioned events. So that's that probably means, you know, guy dressed up as a Nazi furry came into their dungeon thing and they're like, no, I'm just a Nazi Loxodon. And it's a guy dressed as a full elephant in a Nazi outfit.
No one's doing that at a Magic tournament. Yeah. But yes,
well, I'm talking at a D&D event.
It's too hot to play in cosplay, man.
Yeah, true dumpster fire is what I put in there. So Paizo is also on this. So therefore, you have the two biggest RPG manufacturers. Has whole pages in their books telling you how you must play their game and be inclusive. Which is funny. Like I think that's important. I mean, most RPG players look at like the part like, this is how you should play a game, and they're just like, whatever, and they move past it really quickly. But this person was obviously offended enough by them telling you like, you should be inclusive and have lots of different people in your game instead of just, you know, 23-year-old white males.
Yeah, I mean, this is clearly obviously written by someone who's like a massive bigot and is like, I'm angry at these companies that they don't like bigots.
Also harasses customers, aggressively moderates forums against anyone to the right of Stalin. So, which is actually kind of funny, because Stalin wasn't that far right. It wasn't that far left. He was...
He was in the left square, but he was also massively authoritarian and insane fucking like genocidal maniac.
Yeah, I mean, like I would, you know, there's very few people, like I'm trying to think of like who I you know, most of like the far left people, like you probably never even heard of. So it's like
there's as far as I'm aware, and correct me if I'm wrong, again, like I said, I'm not, my political theory is pretty weak, but if I am not mistaken, there has never been an actual like legit leftist in power, because anytime one of them had the opportunity, basically America killed them, right?
There's never been a left lib like leader of any sort of thing. It's mostly, they're mostly left authoritarian, and yeah.
And I assume they're mostly just tankies, and like, and they, that's my guess.
Yeah. Well, I'm not going to get into that, because now all of a sudden, like, my brain goes, well, if we talk, no, I'm not even going to get into it.
Yeah, I don't need the nuance. Just like, if you knew any, like, specific, like, has there ever been like a left lib,
Morales down in South America right now. There's been a couple, like, and they're just like, they're
just very rare.
Yeah, it's very, very rare. Like, most of the people you hear about are left authoritarian, and you know, that's like Russia, China, North Korea,
right.
You know, Cuba, places like that.
Right. And like I've mentioned before, generally most political problems come from the authoritarian angle, not the left or right.
Yeah. Well, mostly. And it also comes from the authoritarian right, you know, not liking that there's authoritarian left.
Yes, perhaps all of the world's issues are because of the battles between the authoritarian left and the authoritarian right.
Right. So then there's also Zweihänder. Paizo also retconned Glorion Golarian lore to be more inclusive. Starfinder even had an adventure where you needed to get a professor at a university to apologize for being insensitive despite being factually correct.
That sounds hilarious.
I want to play that adventure. No lie, first adventure path. That's it. Another AP for Pathfinder showed all men is incompetent, reads like a Tumblr blog, and all of the women were super powerful. And if you didn't bring the black lesbian disabled ranger with you, then you automatically lost Iron Gods or something like that. Like, this is just someone who's just like typing and like so furious.
That dude is so fucking malding. Like, his hair is flying out.
Yeah.
What's really funny about that is I just imagined him just fucking sweating so much while he's typing this.
Well, and it's like, I wanted him, like, I'd really love the fact of him playing this, the venture path for Starfinder, and like, he has to like make the person apologize, and he's like, I'm not gonna do it, the guy is factually correct, I'm not gonna make him apologize, and the DM's just like, yeah, so rocks fall and you die. You know, it's like you've lost the campaign. And then he just gets so angry about it. Cubicle 7.
Really funny.
Not as bad as others on this list, but they're definitely woke because their art design generally shows it.
What?
Yeah, I mean, it's Cubicle 7.
About?
So they're doing
licensed shit. All Cubicle 7 does is license stuff.
Yeah, they're doing Sigmar, and Age of Sigmar is one of the weirdest left, like, lib left games ever. Like,
true.
And it's like, because they're all about like, oh, we want to do an army of all lesbian lizard men. All right, that's going to be next on the list. Sweet, Age of Sigmar. You know, it's like,
yeah. Nope. You have to remember, like, a lot of these people are sent to a blind, furious rage when they see something like, I don't know, a Stormcast with his helmet on and he's a black guy. Like,
yeah.
Oh man, they're so mad about that.
Renegade Studios for Vampire the Masquerade. Vampire of the Masquerade, we don't have time to go over all of that. That also includes the new White Wolf Publishing. Greed Ronin. Chris Promise is a full-on member of Antifa, has a vitriolic hatred for white people, and his products reflect this. Publishes Blue Roses, the gay RPG. So
Antifa has members?
Yeah. Did you get your card? Didn't you get your card in the mail?
I'm going to spoil it. This is big news. I'm actually the leader of Antifa. Did you know?
You are the Antifa?
I am the Antifa. And I've heard that you are also the leader of Antifa. According to Twitter, there's like 10,000.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Right on. Yeah, I was saying, according to Twitter, there's like 10,000 leaders of Antifa, which is important, of course.
Yeah. As I say, I am the hacker known as Anonymous.
Anonymous? Nice. I like it. You're a hacker. They're the hacking group known as Anonymous. She even bought a dog.
Yes. Monkey House Games, which I don't know. Never heard
Monkey House Games.
No, I didn't. Enormous Asshole and Activist. If you are a Republican or conservative or Christian, this hates you. So there you go. At least he used the proper pronouns, though. That's impressive.
Yeah, dude. Yo, bro. Everybody's got pronouns. They came free with your Xbox.
Yeah, I mean, it just that's interesting that they're like, this guy's an enormous asshole and he hates us, but he used this as a pronoun. Which, you know, that might be a good step forward for them. but I mean, like, this is all like, I don't know a lot of these other ones on here. Pellegrine. Games, probably Games Press is one I know for 13th Age, but I,
you
know,
yeah.
But they also published hashtag feminism. That's weird. So it's like, if you could find these, I might put them up on the Facebook page. Like, guess which games you should support? Not the red ones, but the yellow ones. And the reason is that you want to get more of the games onto the red page. So support the yellow games. Yeah. And let them know that you're supporting them because you appreciate them taking, more
you get the,
chances.
You want to get them in the red.
Exactly. It's like the more games we can pull to the red and see if we could pull some of these really green funny. Games to the yellow would be all the better.
It's just so fucking stupid. Like I've thought this out so many fucking times. Like, no company, unless they're very small, no big company, I'll use Wizards of the Coast because this is his number one target, obviously. He's very butthurt about it. They may or may not have actually, like, deeply ingrained political opinions. Maybe. Don't know. The only reason that they have political opinions tied to their product in any capacity is because the trend right now is to not be dickheads anymore. And that's slowly becoming more and more popular, to not be an enormous piece of shit actively and be a bigot. Yeah. So companies are like, oh, the people who spend money don't like bigots anymore. We're going to do our best to try and be like, hey, we're not bigots. Please give us your money. And then there's other companies that just don't fucking care because they're so big. So they're like, yeah, no, fuck you. We're bigots. What are you going to do? Not eat our chicken sandwiches? You guys are addicted to this shit.
So like, let's just use America's population as an example, right? So at least, you know, if I do rough estimation, the white American male represents 25% of the American population. 25%. That's it. The white American
300 some million. That's a lot of people.
Yeah, it's a lot of people, right? Now, out of that 25%, how much of them are actual are conservative, right? Like, I'm talking like legit politically conservative, not just like keeps to themselves.
Are we talking like Klan hood conservative or like, I don't know, that seems a little meh.
No, I'm talking like enough to read this list and be influenced by it. So Klan.
Okay. So Klan.
So let's say there's 10% of that, of the population.
We're saying unite the right. Unite the right people.
Yes.
Right?
Like, let's say 10 to 15%, because it's definitely more than like left, but the non-political is still the biggest chunk of that, right?
They just non-political people are way higher, which makes a ton of sense, because most people are just fucking trying to survive, man.
So let's say like, I don't know, so 25, so 150, 75 million. So let's say there's like 10 to 15 million that are like really on that right side, right? But also, so everybody else besides the 10 to 15 million in the United States is a prospective customer for an RPG community, right? So it's like, you have an opportunity to, if you stay apolitical, you can get what, 290 million people are potential customers for you, right? Or even, let's say you could have all 300 million of them. Now, let's say if you want to be a shitty edgelord company, guess who you can only market to? That 10 million who are like really active and like being a shit edgelord, right?
Right, exactly.
And if you go to the left, yeah, you might take out some of the more political people. So if you, some of the non-political people, but you're still opening yourself up to a very much larger portion of people who, you know, A, like playing role-playing games, and B, enjoy the company of, like, let's say women, minorities, people of differing sexual orientation or genders. Like, that's a lot more people. So it's like,
yes, exactly. It's I tell people, like, it's literally fucking dollars. Like, going, that's it, going ham and being like, you know, fucking right wing nonsense. Like, you get a very dedicated, I would say, fan base, but it's also very, very small.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like,
so all of these companies are here to make money. So when Coca-Cola puts out their commercial with two dudes kissing,
yeah,
they don't give a fuck about fucking gay people. They are saying gay people give us money. That's what they're saying.
100% gay people give us money.
Yes. And hey, you know what? If you want to give me money, I'll take it.
Exactly.
I get it. This list is just so funny, because it's just like, my big thing too, this is like, how, like, who fucking has the effort to, like, compile this kind of shit? Like, get, like I said, this dude was just sweating, fucking red faced, just fucking so mad, like, type of, like, if you notice, you know, we've talked about companies having political things plenty. I mean, we just did now. But I believe the important distinction here is, this dude definitely looked for every RPG company and, like, hunted down their political stances in any capacity to compile this list. When I believe, and feel free to correct me if I'm wrong, any listener who wants to, but I believe when you and I talk about a company having a political thing, it's always because there was a recent blow up or something, like, relevant about it, right? Like,
yeah.
I don't think I've ever, like, I've never been like, well, I don't know, I've got to look at all these fucking game manufacturers. I don't know if I could buy these video games because, and it's like, no, it's like, bruh. Like, there's a few companies that I have on a boycott list because I think they're shit. For a multitude of reasons, but I have definitely not, like, my first thought, if your first thought is before you buy something, like, that you need, let's say, or let's say want, if your first thought is like, well, I've got to investigate this company to see if they align my political beliefs, it's a bit cringe in it, mate.
Well, what I generally, the only time I ever really do that is if I'm listening to a new, like, metal band, I'll immediately go like, hey, I like this music. Well, it's pretty good. Well, I should check out them out first before I say anything.
That is a very specific thing.
Yes.
And I believe that's very fair. that's also summed up really well by someone was like, I woke up this morning and put on my classic metal band t-shirt. Now I have to wonder, do they think the vaccine is a fucking a conspiracy, and are they chugging horse paste?
Exactly. By the way,
there's a lot of horse paste enthusiasts.
I'm a huge fan of the fact that ivermectin makes 85% of the people who take it sterile.
That's actually not true. That is a made up thing.
It's a made up thing.
It's not true. That is a made up thing. I'm sorry. However, I believe that was a joke off of the mortality rate, because that's how easy it is to die if you overdose, I guess.
Oh,
like if you overdose on this shit, like, it's like, you're super likely to die if you overdose. Like, it's really fucking bad for you in general, but, like, if you OD on it, like, the chances of you dying are really high. And I think that's what the joke was. It was like 85%, because like 85% of the people who overdose on it die. I believe. If you're dead, you're sterile.
Yeah, I guess.
But, I mean, well, yes, obviously it would be extremely hilarious for the people who are very obsessed with their alpha and sigma grind sets to become sterile because of their horse paste.
Yeah, I just kind of wish it was made them sterile. I mean, God.
What? Yeah, I see you doing the walk, hanging your head down and kicking the rocks this while you're saying this. Yeah. Yes.
Sad Charlie Brown music playing in the background.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. So so one last thing I wanted to talk about before we finished up for the day is
Dude was so mad. He was so mad.
So Games Workshop, since our last time we talked, and we talked a lot about STLs and 3D printing with Games Workshop. Games Workshop went on a huge purge of all, like, most of the internet resources that came to 3D printing. Which I think is interesting, right? Because, like, it's not, there was no legal thing that they did. Like, yes, on like cults and Thingiverse, they were kind of like, you know, this is blah, blah, blah. It's like, no, it won't. They've already proved that, like, through lawsuits, that they can't copyright the shit, right?
Yeah, there's a very specific level of things that they can copyright. And that's the other thing, too. Like, I forgot to mention this when we were last discussing the STL and 3D printing files. There's actually a handbook now because of the lawsuit between them and, what was it, Chapter House. Yeah. So because of the lawsuit between Workshop and Chapter House, there's actually like a legit handbook of what you can make and sell. So like if you're a 3D modeler enthusiast, like, take a look, man. If you want to make money selling files,
it's in a book.
Seriously. Like if you got the talent to make some really sweet 3D shit and like you want to make some money off of it, don't steal the model and sell that for money. Do your own thing and sell it for money. There's a handbook of what you're allowed to sell. Like, yeah, you can make Space Marines and you can sell Space Marines. You just need to follow the guideline that's in the Chapter House resolution. Because I mean, I think we even talked about that. Like, you and I talked about that. Like, this was long before the heydays of 3D printing. But we talked about how like GW won the court case but lost in the end because of this huge guideline of like, here's how to make stuff you can sell that's Workshop IP.
Mm-hmm. However, they discovered that it's much easier just to put up a bunch of DMCAs and that'll cause people to like it's so here's the problem, and there's a couple things that I have issues with this whole thing going on right now. One, Games Workshop is using fake DMCA strikes to DCMA. I can't remember. I can never keep it straight in my head.
DMCA.
DMCA.
Digital Media Copyright Act.
Yeah. Strikes to get the stuff off of sites like Cults, off of sites like Thingiverse. The Megas that were floating around got struck, which is weird that Mega would do that because, you know, whatever his name is, Kim whatever. The guy who does Mega, isn't he in jail now? I don't remember.
Yeah, he's definitely in prison.
Yeah. But the so they do all these copyright strikes and take all of that stuff down. That's fine because, you know, on one hand, people are legit copying Games Workshop's IP. Like, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about that. It is totally.
And I believe you and I made our stance on that pretty clear. Like, if it's an available model to purchase, don't make a copy of it and sell it.
Well, I mean, it's not even the selling part because a lot of this stuff is free, right? But that's on one hand. So Games Workshop, I totally believe in my heart, like in my mind, like, yes, I know they stole a lot of the ideas from other companies and blah, 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 blah. But even still, it's kind of like, yeah, you know what you're doing is kind of shitty. But on the other hand, they are in the wrong because they've already been proven by the law that they can't do that, right?
Yes.
A lot of stuff. So it's kind of like, on one hand, you have, they got to protect their stuff. And on the other hand, it's like, they can't because it's already been shown by law. So it's like, what's the person going to do? Sue because they've had their fake blood, because they had their third-party Blood Angel shoulder pads taken off the internet? No, who gives a shit? Because you know what's going to happen? You just create another account and you put them back up again. That's what happens.
Yeah, absolutely.
And also, as you and I know, and I think this is important, this is the important part that I wanted to stress, is that I kind of sometimes feel like there are archivists who are in this Gen X, late millennial, like around my age, right? Around your age, who understand that shit, the shit has to be saved, right? Like, if eventually it will get taken down. So like, I think one of our fans asked is like, did Joe save all the files before that? Yes I did. Like, that is,
yeah, and you're absolutely, and I guarantee, and I absolutely guarantee you are not the only one.
Yes, because there was a, listen, young fellas, there was a time when you actually had to store your digital media. Like, there was no cloud. There was no Spotify. If you wanted to have your music, you either had to have them on CD or you had them on like your computer hard drive and an external hard drive. So that way you could keep it all and you would never lose it. Like, I still have friends.
Or you had a mixtape that you made using your CD tape deck player. So you recorded some of the tracks you really liked from the CD. And then you put on a different CD to get even more tracks. And then you had a really sweet mixtape you made.
Yeah. I mean, but you had to keep a physical, like you physically had to hold on to your files. Because if you didn't hold on to your files, they would disappear. My friend Kevin, who I did Comic Book Logic with for years, still has a massive external hard drive with a fuck ton of music on it. And I'm like, why are you still holding on to this? And he's like, you know, every once in a while, like shit just disappears and then you can't find it. I'm like, but do you really need a copy of Black Grape? Like, see, if you can't find your copy of Black Grape, eventually it'll make its way around again. It's like, you know.
That's pretty funny.
But just to let you know, I do have one of my external hard drives has 319 gigs of just Warhammer files on it. So
that's a lot of Warhammer.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is indeed. But it's up to like people like me. But on the other hand, I kind of feel like a shopkeeper in Elder Scrolls, where it's kind of like, yes, I have held on to all of this stuff. Now, how much is it worth it to you?
And then before you know it, he just disappeared from your site, and suddenly all your shit's gone.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like,
oh, you know, I know there's a bucket over your head and then all your shit's gone.
And I kind of feel like almost like, and these people are so fucking stupid. Like these people, like 3D printers, because they share shit in ways that it's like, yes, Games Workshop will find out about you because of how stupid you are. Like, I just want to like, there should be a universal thing where it's just the Lenny, Carl gift from,
Simpsons
from the Simpsons from the Stonecutters episode where he's like, shut up.
Shut up. No, that's Lenny.
That's
shut
Lenny. Okay. Up. Shut up. Yeah, that's shut kind up. Of that's kind of what it needs to be. It needs to be that. Because they're like, where can I find a copy of the Titan files? It's like, you know what? You do a little bit of Googling, you can find them. So shut the fuck up, right? You don't want to draw attention to the fact that we have these files.
Like, what you're saying is we need an off name, an off brand name brand recognition system. So like a universal thing for like, so like the Salamanders, anything Salamander Space Marine that is 3D printed needs to be called like the Wacky Manders or something.
Though actually a lot of those do. So like Night Lords are called like Vampire Lords or Bat Lords.
Nice.
Like Blood Angels are sometimes like, I know they're sometimes called Hawk Boys.
Hawk Boys.
Yeah. Dark Angels are called Gloomy Angels. Like, so they already have this stuff. But the thing is that Games Workshop learns very quickly what these off name brands are.
And you gotta change it up.
So yeah. And so what I'm saying is it's not necessarily what they're labeled as, it's how they're listed. So there's like, there's a couple great sites, but I don't want to give them out and tell people about them, because if I tell people about them, they are good. They're going to go and they're going to tell other people about them. And it's like all of a sudden
they tell two friends.
So, and it's not like all the people, it'll be like one or two people like that you'll tell, but of course there'll be that one asshole who's got to be like, look at all the shit, you know, like sort of thing. And it's like, they ruin it. And that's how shit like that happens. You have to find the sites that are hosted by Russians, because the Russians do not give a fuck.
That's true. If you've ever seen a Russian dash cam from traffic, Russians do not care about anything.
So that's what I'm saying is like, if you really are interested in some of that stuff, you have to look for the Russian sites. And also you just wait, because it just pops back up online after it gets taken down. Just waits like a little, you know, you wait like a month and it pops right back up. It's not like it's going to be gone forever. Because it's the internet, and we have learned in the last fucking 30 years of having the internet, or 20 years of having the internet, once it's on the internet, it never goes away. It just might become harder to find, but it's never going away.
It just gets harder to find.
Yes. You can still see Two Girls, One Cup, and that's like, what, 15 years old at this point?
I think it's actually even older than that.
It might be. I don't care. I never really watched it because I was like, I don't want to watch that. Why would I want to watch that? I mean,
it's a meme.
Yeah. Well, let me also put it on this way. there's nothing wrong if you like watching that. It's just not for me. Not my thing. But you know, if you like it, more power to you.
It's kind of gross.
it's gross. No one needs to watch that. I don't believe. But if you do want to watch it, cool. More power to you.
Yeah. I mean, some people like watching the Pain Olympics. I'm not a fan.
I am not a fan either. It's really bothering for these guys because it's like 3D printing right now is reaching that kind of that level. Like I see talk about it more and more, and that might actually just be because I'm looking for it more and more because I do it. But I've been doing it for a couple of years at this point, and I've just seen a very large uptick in what's going on with it. And as I tell people, it never goes away. You just got to know where to look. And if you are asking for it, on my opinion, Steve, you're not putting in your due diligence, which means you haven't earned it yet.
Do your DD, bro.
Yeah, do your due diligence. See if you could find it. If you could do that, that's all the better. And if like I see someone who's like, well, I bought this mini file from someone, I'm like, fucking amateur buying files. But anyway, yeah, my actual new I'm done painting, printing 3D GW stuff. For the most part, I've been still doing some Titans for Titanicus, but my new project is I want to go through a D&D second, and I want to print out a good version of every monster I can find.
Ooh, right. That's cool. I like that.
Yeah. So like, it's hard. The hardest part is figuring out the best version. Cause like, if I'm looking at a Beholder, do you know how many fucking versions of Beholders there are out there?
I'm a fan of the classic Beholder, the real goofy looking ones. Maybe the second edition one's probably the best. Not cause the original Beholder is a bit too goofy, but also the second one has the whole like Beholder family thing, which I really like. There's that piece. I think it's by Dieter Lizzie, but it might not be, I don't remember, but it's from the second ed monster manual where it's just like all of the Beholder types in a row. I think that's what I would do if I was looking if I was looking for models for Beholders, that's for sure.
Interesting thing on that is that My Mini Factory, which is like a repository of for sale STLs for minis, they actually started their own sort of Patreon, so that'll be interesting to see how that works, because Patreon does a lot more than just minis, and a lot of creators use Patreon, but it'll be interesting to see them creating a specific place that's just for mini STLs Patreons. That just happened like yesterday. It just like launched yesterday, so it'll be interesting to see how that goes through.
I can dig it.
Yeah, and one last thing. Someone wanted to ask us about the two He-Man Kickstarters. How could that have happened? I'll tell you, me boyo, money. That's how it happened.
Well, that just reminded me of the old, I think I commented on it, but that reminded me of the old days of Kickstarter where there was like 5 different Batman Kickstarters at the same time.
Yeah. I mean, did you watch you probably didn't watch the new Masters of the Universe, right?
No, I did not. No.
No.
Is it good?
It's very good, but they made one fatal flaw, which was not having He-Man in it. So.
that is an issue, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, like, so people were complaining, like, where's He-Man? And then there was also the right-wing chuds who were complaining that it is a Teela show. And it's like, I don't have a problem with it being a Teela show. I just want He-Man in it.
If I'm watching something called He-Man, I probably want to see He-Man.
It's not He-Man, though. It's Masters of the Universe Revelations.
Oh, well, okay.
However, to me, Steve, Masters of the Universe is He-Man. So it's like,
well, to me, I mean, when I hear that, I always hear it's He-Man and the Masters of the Universe. Yeah. So like that's, so I think like He-Man is the protagonist and there's his allies, the Masters of the Universe.
Well, and whenever I talk to people about this, I have to thread that thin line because it's like, it's not about that it's a Teela show. It's that I just wanted He-Man. Like, oh yeah, also, the show is fun.
Right wingers like He-Man? Do they not know that's like the gayest show that's ever been made?
They don't like anything. They just hate the fact that it's a Teela show. That's the thing. And like to me, I don't give a shit. I just want He-Man. Like, I'm just like, I don't understand. It's a fine show. The plot was fine, but I want He-Man. I want my adolescent male fantasy.
Give me more He-Man.
Yeah. I don't understand why, but they actually are doing a separate He-Man show for little kids now on Netflix. I think it starts next week. It's not anywhere near like the classic designs, but it does look like a modern kid show, very, very Japanese or influenced sort of thing. So I'm like, well, that'll be good for my son. He'll enjoy that. So that's that on that. And the He-Man games, whatever. Well, the Cool Mini or Not one looks okay. It looks far too complicated for me. Like, I don't want that. I want adolescent male fantasy. Why is it so hard to give me adolescent male fantasy?
Too many rules, man.
Yeah, you know, whatever. The minis look good, but they just look like the cartoon, which those minis have already been available on Thingiverse for like years at this point. So it's kind of like, meh, whatever. I'd much rather come up with my own game, but as we all know, homebrew rules are terrible no matter what situation.
Saturday, I'm telling you, man, I figured it out. I figured out the ultimate crossover game that'll hit all the notes and be cool. There's a classic Capcom fighting game which I fucking love called Saturday Night Slam Masters. And it's a wrestling game, and it's really good. It's a fantastic game. Everybody should give it a shot. If you do emulation at all, there's an arcade version. There's a Super Nintendo version. It's called Saturday Night Slam Masters. Also, the Japanese name is Super Muscle Bomber. So, ooh. I know Super Muscle Bomber is a fucking dope name. So anyway, so I was thinking about it, and like I had the idea. I was like, wait, what about Saturday Morning Slam Masters?
Yeah.
And It's Saturday Morning Slam Masters, and it's a wrestling game, but the wrestlers are all Saturday Morning cartoon characters.
Yeah, I was thinking like wrestling or even like a Smash style game would be great for that, like a Saturday Morning, like you just get all those all the Saturday Morning cartoons just in the game like that. It'd be fantastic. Yeah,
so like legit, it's like who are you controlling? Oh, I'm controlling fucking Optimus Prime. Who are you controlling? I'm controlling fucking He-Man. Like, you're He-Man wrestling Optimus Prime. Like,
fucking
come on.
Fucking Panthro mains.
Fucking Panthro. Yes, that was my idea. I was like, I thought that was pretty good. That's I was good like, idea, and I liked the name Saturday Morning Slam Masters.
I give you my thumbs up and approval on that one.
Yeah, because right. I was thinking about it, and I was like, and I thought it was the one way that you could actually like do a looped IP and not have to worry about like very specific, like really in-depth rules, things, so on and yada yada. Like if you did the G.I. Joe minis game, like you'd have to do so much fucking shit for that. Like, yeah. But instead, you do Saturday Morning Slam Masters, and you just have Duke and Cobra Commander in that game. Like, done.
Duke.
Duke.
Take it, Duke. good old Duke. All right. Go to our Planet Arbitrary. Thanks. Go to the game.
How?
Go to the Game Classy Facebook page. It's the best way to get in contact with us. You can like, comment, subscribe on the YouTubes, like, comment, subscribe on the iTunes. Best way you can help out the podcast. You could follow me on Instagram. I know I am taking a pretty big hobby hiatus. I haven't been painting in weeks at this point, which is weird for me. Like, but I think it's just I had a little bit of hobby burnout, so that could be a big part of it. But I'll eventually be posting again. But it's a good way that you can get into contact with me. You could get in contact with Steve through Semaphore and through Homing Pigeon. I believe
smoke signals are also good.
Yeah, and smoke signals are also good.
I mean, proximity, you know, you need to be a little bit closer for the smoke signals ones, but I mean it works.
Yeah. Steve sees them on the horizon, he's like, ha, it's a meme, it's a Chungus meme.
yeah dick butt. what a classic.
I just like the idea of the smoke coming up and then it just forms the dick butt.
Yes. or it's an Among Us.
Among Us as well, yeah.
Among Us. Among Us.
Among Us, yes. Among Us.
Among Us. Among Us. Yeah. Just me pointing at the smoke on the horizon going, Among Us.
I also like the idea of the Chungus meme. Like, I love the fact that good. I I like that Chungus meme is so dumb that that's what's the funny part about the Chungus meme is that it's such a dumb bad meme that it's
it's
funny
terrible
at this point. Like
yes.
All right. So Steve, until next time.
Never forget, Obama is the throat goat, the glizzy gulper.
Is that also off Donda?
Yes, it is.
Later.
Later.
Game Classy.